Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Welcome back to Mama Mystery. I am your host, Kelly, and today we are talking about the assassination, the public execution of Charlie Kirk. Now, in the first half of this episode, I want to clear up some of the assumptions made about me and what I believe and who I believe, as well as my response to a lot of the hate that I've been getting. Now, in the second part, I will tell you exactly what happened last week in my typical chronological fashion, and I will ask some important questions about some things that are not making sense to me, and maybe some of you as well. And if you're wondering why I'm choosing to talk about this, well, here's why. I've noticed a couple things. Either one, other true crime podcasts are refusing to talk about this for a variety of reasons, and maybe they don't know much about what happened or what Charlie Cook stood for, why people agreed with or didn't agree with Charlie. Maybe they're choosing not to talk about it because they didn't support Charlie, or maybe they're afraid that if they do talk about it, and they do agree with some of the things that Charlie said, or even if they show that they have some sympathy for what happened to Charlie, then they will get canceled by the far left. Well, that last one used to be me, but I'm going to talk about it today. Mama Mystery is my true crime podcast where I talk about true crime. It's my voice. I write each episode, and I believe everyone deserves to have their stories told, but I'm also just one person, so it's impossible for me to tell all of the stories, right? However, I am choosing this one for multiple reasons. One being that it just happened last week. Two being that Charlie Kirk was obviously a very well-known activist, and three because whether you are interested in true crime or not, you likely witnessed the public execution of someone in real time, and that is not normal. We are not meant to see things like that, an execution like that. They don't even broadcast executions for people who are, you know, on death row, who received the death penalty, okay? Let that sink in. People who are actually sentenced to death for doing horrible, deplorable, horrific things to other people. I'm talking violent rapists, murderers, or serial killers get sentenced to death, but we don't actually see the moment that they die. But we saw this. We saw the moment the bullet struck Charlie. We saw the aftermath, the blood pouring out of his neck as he collapsed and the mic fell out of his hand. We saw his friends rushing his bloodied, lifeless body to the vehicle where a nearby student could be heard screaming in horror at what she just saw. We saw things we were never meant to see. But see, there was also another school shooting that day, one in Evergreen, Colorado, where a shooter posted a picture of a revolver to his ex account and then went to his school and shot two students before he took his own life. Now, both victims survived, with one being critically injured and the other being seriously wounded. And without knowing anything about those victims, we all collectively felt sad for them. You feel outraged that there's another school shooting. I don't think anyone was celebrating that they got shot or arguing that they deserved it because they believed X, Y, and Z. So let's talk about it. Before I get started, I want to make a few things very clear. Choosing to talk about this today has come with a lot of feelings. Because you see, I've hinted in the past that I am a Christian, that I lean a little to the conservative side, but mostly, I honestly share some liberal views as well. but that part just usually falls on deaf ears because more often than not, the word conservative or Christian just mutes the rest of what I have to say. And because I have even given just a hint of that, I have been berated in my comment sections, my Apple reviews, and my inbox. So, for example, here are a few of the messages that I've received. One, the first one came in the form of a one-star review on Apple titled Disappointed by an anonymous user who goes by the nickname, literally nickname 9001. Okay. It says, quote, "So you didn't want to get political after the Texas floods, but you've instantly politicized tragedy twice this week with the Ukrainian woman who was killed and now with Charlie Kirk. Take a look in the mirror. It's obviously horrible that Charlie Kirk was killed and that should be denounced, but supporting someone like him at all is another story, as I'm sure you did considering you follow him. Where was your outrage when Melissa Hortman and her husband were killed? I can no longer bear witness to your disturbing and angry MAGA views. Sharing a religious book while talking about the lives lost due to the flooding in Texas is insensitive. Can you imagine someone who lost their family member seeing that, who doesn't subscribe to the same religion? I don't think you intended to hurt anyone, but please consider how something like that comes across." End quote. Now, for the record, the book that this person is referring to is called Imagine the God in Heaven, and it was a book recommended to me from someone who actually went through the loss of an infant child. And I recommended the book in good faith, especially after the Texas floods, because we were talking about little girls who lost their lives at church camp. I thought that was pretty obvious. Second, politicizing a natural disaster is one thing, but when there is an assassination of a well-known political figure, especially a Christian conservative activist like Charlie Kirk, yeah, it's political. Third, regarding my outrage when Melissa Hortman and her husband were killed, I would like to refer you back to my weekly docket on June 20th when I explicitly spoke about their murder when it happened. So you don't get to bring this up when it's convenient for your timeline, your narrative, and assume that I wasn't outraged about that or about any other school shooting. It's an assumption, and it's an unfair one and an ignorant one at that. Now, another one-star review from someone by the name of Carrie Craw Daily says, quote, "Thank you for showing that you care about Charlie Kirk. I have unfollowed you," end quote, with a one-star review. Another one-star from Summer MN36 that reads, quote, "She recently hinted that she's a Trump supporter. I can't in good conscience continue to support," end quote. So these are effectively bringing down my rating, which is fine. But then there's my inbox. After posting about the news of Charlie Kirk, literally just the day that it happened, I was choked up because I had just witnessed someone be executed in broad daylight, and it shook me up, especially knowing that he has two small children. And I was feeling a lot for his children, his wife, but also for everyone who was there, who was traumatized by having to witness that. And someone responded to my post saying, quote, "Ha ha ha, now I'm laughing at you for crying over him," end quote. And there's, of course, many comments also accusing me of not caring when children are shot in schools because they allege that I apparently haven't covered those stories despite literally crying on this podcast multiple times over school shootings. The point is, this is exhausting. I'm so sick and tired of this narrative that if you are a Christian, you're automatically put into this flow chart where you're a Christian, therefore you must be a huge Trump and MAGA supporter, therefore you must hate gay people and black people and atheists and XYZ. And then assuming that I must not care about the children in Gaza. My gosh, what a stretch. And it just goes on and on and on, the assumptions that get made over this one title. And the crazy thing is, I can shout it from the mountaintops that I am against school shootings, that I believe we need gun reform, that I believe in gay marriage, and that I'm also pro-choice in many regards. But it won't matter. It falls on deaf ears because the far left, and please do not mistake me when I call out the far left. I'm not talking about just your average Democrat or someone who leans left. I'm talking about the far ones. The ones who are on the far left, the far liberal side that once stood for tolerance and compassion and inclusivity, now disallows anyone to disagree with them to not only debate, but even say their beliefs out loud for fear of getting shot, publicly executed. It used to be as simple as a cancel culture type of mentality, but it has gone so far that now it's escalated to violence and murder, and people on the far left, again, I'm not talking about most Democrats, I'm specifically referring to the lunatics. And listen, they're on the right side too. They're just not the ones that are in my comment section. But these people are online celebrating the fact that Charlie Kirk died, and they are chastising anyone who is sad about it. For example, Cheryl Weichel, who is on Twitter as leftistlawyer.com, said, quote, "I wish the bullet that hit Charlie Kirk a very pleasant day," with responses like, "Oh, wow, she did a good job. Thoughts and prayers to the bullet's family. Finally, some good news out of my state." And someone that I actually know in my hometown made a status that said essentially he had this coming. And to that I say, this is no different than telling a rape victim that she had it coming because of how she was dressed. There is no amount of discourse that should call for someone to die in the way that Charlie Kirk died. All Charlie did was go to college campuses and debate with college students, young adults. The new generation was allowed to approach him in front of an audience all over the internet and have civil discourse with him. You didn't have to agree with him. You just had to be bold enough to get out from behind a computer screen and have a conversation face to face. You can not like what he had to say, and you can still agree that he didn't deserve to be executed in such a vicious and public way. So after the shooting, I started seeing people defend his murder in my comment sections with cherry-picked quotes of his. For example, one that I saw often was, quote, "I can't stand the word empathy, actually. I think empathy is a made-up new age term that it does a lot of damage," end quote. And that's all people were leaving in the comments. So here is a clip of the full quote for more context.
The new communication strategy is not to do what Bill Clinton used to do, where he would say, "I feel your pain." Instead, it is to say, "You're actually not in pain." So let's just a little, very short clip. Bill Clinton in the 1990s, it was all about empathy and sympathy. I can't stand the word empathy, actually. I think empathy is a made-up new age term that it does a lot of damage, but it is very effective when it comes to politics. Sympathy, I prefer more than empathy. That's a separate topic for a different time.
So I think it's important to make that distinction, the difference between sympathy and empathy. Sympathy is feeling for someone, showing concern or pity for their misfortune from a distance, while empathy is feeling for someone with someone, understanding and sharing their emotional experience from their perspective. I can have sympathy for someone who has lost a child, but I can't have empathy for them because I've never been in that position. So yes, my compassion and my sympathy is all there, but to say that I have empathy would be a disservice because I've never actually experienced that. Regardless though, the root of the quote is still, the foundation of it is still in caring for other people and their plight. So this whole like twist to make it seem like he was an apathetic person, that he couldn't possibly care for others, is being really twisted and taken out of context. Now, I've also seen comments essentially saying that he deserved this because he supported the Second Amendment. So I want to share another clip to add more context to that also. And whether you agree with it or not, I think it's important to know that this is where he stood on gun reform, okay?
How do we convince them that it's important to have the right to defend ourselves and all that good stuff?
Yeah, it's a great question. Thank you. So I'm a big Second Amendment fan, but I think most politicians are cowards when it comes to defending why we have a Second Amendment. This is why I would not be a good politician, or maybe I would, I don't know, but because I actually speak my mind. The Second Amendment is not about hunting. I love hunting. The Second Amendment is not even about personal defense. That is important. The Second Amendment is there, God forbid, so that you can defend yourself against a tyrannical government.
Come on.
And if that talk scares you, wow, that's radical, Charlie. I don't know about that. Well, then you have not really read any of the literature of our founding fathers.
Yep.
Number two, you've not read any 20th century history. You're just living in Narnia. By the way, if you were actually living in Narnia, you would be wiser than wherever you're living, because C.S. Lewis was really smart. So I don't know what alternative universe you're living in.
Yep.
You just don't want to face reality that governments tend to get tyrannical, and that if people need an ability to protect themselves and their communities and their families. Now, we must also be real. We must be honest with the population. Having an armed citizenry comes with a price. Wow. And that is part of liberty.
Wow.
Driving comes with a price. 50,000 people die on the road every year. Wow. That's a price. You get rid of driving, you'd have 50,000 less auto fatalities. But we have decided that the benefit of driving, speed, accessibility, mobility, having products, services, is worth the cost of 50,000 people dying on the road.
Wow.
So we need to be very clear that you're not going to get gun deaths to zero. It will not happen.
Right.
You can significantly reduce them through having more fathers in the home,
yes,
by having more armed guards in front of schools.
Yes. Yes.
We should have an honest and clear reductionist view of gun violence, but we should not have a utopian one. You will never live in a society when you have an armed citizenry and you won't have a single gun death. That is nonsense. It's drivel. But I think it's worth it. I think it's worth to have a cost of, unfortunately, some gun deaths every single year so that we can have the Second Amendment to protect our other God-given rights. That is a prudent deal. It is rational. Nobody talks like this. They live in a complete alternate universe. So then how do you reduce? Very simple. People say, oh, Charlie, how do you stop school shootings? I don't know. How did we stop shootings at baseball games? Because we have armed guards outside of baseball games. That's why. How do we stop all the shootings at airports? We have armed guards outside of airports. How do we stop all the shootings at banks? We have armed guards outside of banks. How do we stop all the shootings at gun shows? Notice there's not a lot of mass shootings at gun shows. There's all these guns. Because everyone's armed. If our money and our sporting events and our airplanes have armed guards, why don't our children?
Thank you, Charlie. Thank you.
All right, so at this point, I think I've shared enough clips to add a little context, but to be honest, there are so many more conversations that are readily available online that you can access. So if you choose to still believe that Charlie is a guy that spread nothing but hate and that he deserved it, whatever, I guess that's your choice. You're totally free to have that opinion. However, when you use that opinion as a defense to insinuate that he deserved what he got, or that people who are sad over his death deserve to be mocked, then let me tell you, I am not your podcaster. And that's fine. You don't need to leave a one-star review or leave me hate comments. At the end of the day, it only bolsters my own beliefs and validates my position. You don't have to like me. You don't have to like Charlie. But that doesn't mean death deserves to be celebrated. Charlie never killed anyone. He just said words that you didn't like. And if that is enough in your mind to justify murder, then might I suggest getting some thicker fucking skin. It is very hypocritical to lambast people for condemning gun violence while simultaneously celebrating or making excuses for someone who was just shot in the neck in broad daylight in front of thousands of college students in a video that everyone has access to and has probably seen. There were two school shootings that day, and if you're only condemning one of those school shootings, then you've got to just take a look in the mirror. If that is you, if you really can't bear to listen to me tell any more true crime stories because I choose to talk about this one, then see yourself out. That is fine with me, because my worth is not valued by the analytics from this podcast. It comes from something so much more than that, something deeper than that, something impenetrable by anyone else's opinions of me, especially those of mean strangers on the internet. I am a Christian woman, a mother, and a wife. My values do lean conservative, but I also hold beliefs that some would label liberal, like supporting gay marriage and the right to choose. What I've learned, though, is that the moment I say I'm Christian or even lean conservative, people stop listening. I'm dismissed, mocked, even insulted, as if that single label just erases my heart, my compassion, my humanity. And what frustrates me most about this is the hypocrisy. If I dare to disagree with a progressive viewpoint, I'm immediately branded with ugly words like fascist, bigot, racist, homophobic. But when others disagree with me, their speech is applauded as brave or righteous. It feels like only one side is allowed to speak freely while the other is expected to stay silent. And I've really only seen this in the last like 5 years. Like I feel like in the last 5 years since COVID really, this has all just gotten so out of control. But that is not what free speech was intended to be. Disagreement should never mean dehumanization, and most certainly should not ever mean murder. No matter what side you're on, no matter what your opinions or your beliefs are, I don't care. I'm tired. I'm tired of the double standards, the hostility, and the idea that my faith automatically makes me hateful. My faith actually teaches the opposite, to love, to have compassion, to extend grace, especially to those who are hurting. I don't hate anyone, even when I've been met with hate. One of my best friends for a long time said some really, really incredibly hurtful things because of my faith and my beliefs. And I never once retaliated with that same hate back. I don't believe anyone should have to suffer for their beliefs. I support same-sex marriage because it has no bearing on my family's life. But when it comes to women's sports, I don't believe biological men should compete against my daughters. That's not rooted in hate. It's rooted in fairness and protection for my kids. Yet even saying that has brought ridicule. I don't understand why my compassion for someone others may dislike is mocked, or why my voice is treated as dangerous while theirs is celebrated. I don't want to be this quiet Christian anymore just because of the assumptions that people attach to that word. So here's where I land. I am exhausted by the hypocrisy, the name calling, and the violence that grows from it. I believe in love and truth and fairness. I believe disagreement is not hate. And I believe every person should have the same right to speak without fear of being silenced, canceled, or murdered, even if you don't agree with what I say or believe. And if we can agree on that, you're welcome here. But if we can't, then go find another podcast. And with that said, let's take a break and move on to exactly what happened on September 10th, right after this break. Before we go on, I want to take a moment to thank the sponsor of today's episode, which is Armoire. Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then when you're ready for new clothes, you just swap them out for more new to you styles. I will admit I was a little skeptical at first because I'm not the type of person who dresses up very often, but you guys, this is actually so perfect and I'm genuinely so excited about this new membership with Armoire. And I want to tell you what the process was like for me. I got onto their website and I mean, there were so much to choose from. I ended up choosing 6 items and I was kind of like, we'll see what happens, you know, not sure how they were going to arrive, if they were going to be like noticeably used or what. But listen, 2 days after I placed my like case order, it showed up on my doorstep. Everything was like, when I pulled it out of the bag, everything was neatly folded and then tied up in this really pretty little bow. And I got so excited. I'm actually taking a trip to Dallas with my daughter soon, so I'm going to wear an outfit for that. Austin and I are going to go to a Teddy Swims concert, so I got an outfit for that. I'm like, you guys, I'm so excited about this because everything showed up in great condition. I mean, I think it looks brand new. And it's $900 worth of clothes that I'm renting for less than $100. And the best part for me is that I can just send it back. I don't typically dress up that often, but this is so perfect for like the random occasions that I do dress up without having to go and like splurge on an entire new outfit that I might only wear once. I will be honest, I feel guilty that over half of my closet has only been worn once, if at all. And there are even a few items that are going to Goodwill with the tags on them. So I love being on trend and having new things to wear, but I hate the waste that I'm creating when I do that, right? So Armoire allows me to rent these high quality designer clothes for any occasion and then just send it back. If you've got a wedding or a job interview or just like anything that you just want to kind of dress up a little bit. But the nice thing is they also have athleisure. So I got this really cute Kate Spade anorak jacket that I can wear with like a pair of leggings, and it just kind of makes you feel a little more dressed up while you're still dressed down. I also got some really cool floral wide leg pants from Steve Madden with this really cute denim halter like front vest top to go with it. And just in case that doesn't work out, I got another option too to go with the pants, and then I can have like kind of two outfits in one. You guys, I cannot tell you enough how excited I am about this. And right now my listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/mama. That's armoire.style, armoire.style/mama to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Please try Armoire today, and if you do, tag me in the pictures of your outfits so I can get some inspiration and kind of see what y'all are getting. But this is so fun. I'm really, really excited about this. Thanks again to Armoire for sponsoring today's episode. And now back to the story.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
All right, let's get into part two of this episode where we'll discuss the events of September 10th. Now, some of this is going to be pulled from the actual arrest warrant, and then some will be information that was confirmed by officials. As we know, Charlie Kirk was scheduled to speak at an event at Utah Valley University in Orem, Utah. The courtyard where Charlie was speaking was situated to the west of the Losee Center building. Losee is L-O-S-E-E. Now, while Charlie was talking to a student, he was shot in the neck at 12:23 p.m. Multiple videos captured the moment that he was struck in the neck, and if you saw it, you knew there was no way that he was going to survive this. It was absolutely horrific. I actually gasped when I watched it, because the first video I saw, it appeared that he had been shot in the chest because it was like a farther vantage point. And then someone else shared the actual video on X, and I wish so badly that I could unsee it. If you saw it, I'm sure you can relate, but I don't think anybody was meant to see that. And I don't know how anyone could watch that video and not feel disturbed by it. So if that is you, and if that image keeps replaying in your head, and if it feels like it's kind of consuming you at times, that's because you are a human being. And believe it or not, you are not alone, because that is an absolutely tragic and traumatic thing to witness. Now, investigators reviewed the Utah Valley University surveillance cameras and observed an individual on the rooftop of that Losee Center building. According to the arrest warrant, the suspect, quote, appears to be a white male with dark colored hair, wearing a dark colored hat, sunglasses, a long sleeve black shirt with a picture of an American flag and an eagle printed on the shirt, dark colored jeans, a white gray pair of shoes with white colored shoelaces, and the shoes appeared to be Converse style shoes or Chuck Taylors. And it also says that the suspect was carrying a dark colored backpack on his back. So then they went back and retrieved more footage of the alleged shooter, who we now know is allegedly Tyler Robinson. So I'll refer to him as Tyler in the rest of this episode. But going back to the morning of September 10th at 8:07, footage obtained by TMZ shows Tyler allegedly in a maroon shirt, shorts, and a black hat walking outside of campus. This footage was taken by a Ring camera or home surveillance system in a nearby neighborhood, and you can see this person walking by the driveway. Governor Cox confirms that this same person arrives on campus in a Dodge Challenger at 8:29 a.m. and continues walking on foot. At 11:49 a.m., Tyler appears on a doorbell camera in a different outfit, and this time he's limping in a way that suggests that he's got the rifle in his pant leg, because it looks like his leg just won't bend, and that would explain why. At 11:50 a.m., a university surveillance camera first captures Tyler walking across a grassy area through a parking lot and approaches a pedestrian tunnel. Before he enters the tunnel, he pulls out his phone from his back pocket at 11:53. Then he puts the phone back into his pocket and continues toward the Losee Center building. At 12:02 p.m., he was recorded walking with the same limping gait as earlier as he enters the Losee building. At 12:15, he's observed walking up the stairs that lead to the common area adjacent to the Losee Center. He then walked to a short concrete wall that separates the common area from the rooftop of the Losee Center building. At 12:17, he climbs over the short wall and appeared to crouch down on the north side of the wall on the rooftop. At 12:22 p.m., surveillance footage shows the suspect stand up and start running across the rooftop of the Losee building with no limp. He then appears to scoot along the rooftop area as he got closer to the edge of the rooftop. Then he laid down in a position consistent with a prone shooting position near the edge of the rooftop, facing the courtyard, facing Charlie. At 12:23 p.m., Charlie is shot, and surveillance shows Tyler suddenly stand up from the edge of the rooftop and then sprint to the northeast corner of the building. He placed a dark-colored item on the rooftop and then proceeded to lower himself off the rooftop, dropping to the grass below him. He then ran north near the parking lot to the east of the Losee Center. At approximately 12:24, 1 minute later, he ran across Campus Drive Road and appears to be carrying an item, but it is not clear from the surveillance what the item is. The area to the north of the campus drive where he crossed over consists of a grassy area with trees, and it's on the edge of the UVU campus. There, investigators discovered a bolt-action rifle wrapped in a dark-colored towel. The rifle had a scope mounted on top of it. Investigators noted inscriptions that had been engraved on casings found with the rifle. Inscriptions on a fired casing read, quote, "Notices bulge, OWO, what's this?" And then there were inscriptions on the three unfired casings that read, quote, "Hey fascist, catch, up arrow, right arrow, and then three down arrows." A second unfired casing read, "Oh Bella Chow, Bella Chow, Bella Chow, Chow, Chow." And a third unfired casing read, quote, "If you read this, you are gay, LMAO," end quote. Investigators also discovered a shoe impression on the rooftop in the vicinity where Tyler is seen on video. Now, real quick, let's talk about these inscriptions, because I realize to most people, they probably make no sense. But if you are someone that is chronically online, you might realize that these refer to popular memes that you would often find on like a Reddit or a Discord or a 4chan type of like unique part of the internet. I don't know how else to explain it other than that, but I had actually come across this video, and I'll actually share the audio because I do think it explains quite well what these things mean. So I'll go ahead and play that for you now. By the way, this creator's name on TikTok is Aiden, A-I-D-A-N, etc., E-T-C-E-R-A. So if you want to check out more of his content and the way that he explains things, he seems to have a pretty good understanding of just memes historically, and then some. So anyway, here is how he explained it.
The casing on the shot that ended Charlie Kirk's life was engraved with a 12-year-old furry bashing meme. Notices bulge, ooh woo, what's that? Which tells us an important thing. This assassination was a shitpost. That is the lens to analyze it through.
Quick pause, because shitpost, I actually had to look it up. I didn't know what that actually meant. And a shitpost is a deliberately provocative or off-topic comment posted on social media, typically in order to just upset others or distract from the main conversation.
Another of the casings references a video game, Helldivers 2, and a specific bomb that you could send on your enemies in the game with the command upright, down, down, down. This command line sort of became a meme in image boards where it would be deployed to kind of represent, you know, ending an argument, but almost more so as just like, if you know, you know, and that sort of signals the in-group there. Another of the four casings references Bella Ciao, which is an Italian anti-fascist anthem from the World War II era that has stuck around and remained very popular online. It's been used both in left and right-wing political contexts, and it's used in a lot of video games. And then the fourth and final shell casing was engraved with, if you're reading this, you're gay, LMAO. This was a shitpost. It was designed to be maximally disruptive and incomprehensible, cloaked in layer upon layer of irony so that nobody would know what he really meant unless they were our guy. This performs a kind of nihilism that plays really, really well on particular image boards and Discord servers where this guy spent most of his life.
All right, so I'll talk more about Tyler in a little bit, but I still want to keep going through the chronological timeline of exactly what happened. So after they recovered these shell casings and revealed what those said, investigators also discovered a shoe impression on the rooftop in the vicinity where Tyler is seen on video. At 12:19 p.m., there is footage of the suspect running through a backyard. Meanwhile, at 12:52, there were reports coming out that there was a suspect in custody by the name of George Zinn. He's the older white-haired man in the blue shirt who was captured on multiple cell phones, being carried away by police yelling, "I shot him, now shoot me." So he was arrested, but then he apparently told police that he did not actually shoot Charlie Kirk. He just said that to cause a distraction to draw attention away from the real shooter, saying that he essentially wanted to, quote, "wanted to be a martyr for the person who was shot," who was shot, end quote. Now, George Zinn is known locally as a political gadfly who frequently pops up at events and is nearly always tossed out, with numerous trespassing arrests at events like film festivals, protests, and political rallies. And then it actually just came out today that he was arrested for obtaining child sexual abuse material. I don't know if this came out during the investigation after he was arrested from this event, or if this is a completely separate incident altogether. But regardless, he's clearly not a good guy. And the definition of a gadfly, because I had to look this up too, is a person who interferes with the status quo of society or community by posing novel, potentially upsetting questions, usually directed at authorities. And a gadfly, by definition, is actually like a gnat, like a just an annoying horsefly that just like really kind of serves no purpose, but they're just always there. Now, fast forward to the next day, September 11th, when a family member of Tyler's reached out to a family friend who contacted the Washington County Sheriff's Office with information that Tyler had confessed to them or implied that he had committed the incident. So they then relayed this information to the FBI. And when investigators encountered Tyler in the early morning hours of September 12th, Tyler was seen in the same outfit as before the shooting took place. The maroon t-shirt, the light-colored shorts, a black hat with a white logo, and those light-colored Chuck Taylor Converse shoes. Investigators interviewed a family member of Tyler's who stated that Tyler had become more political in recent years, and the family member referenced a recent incident in which Tyler came to dinner prior to September 10th, and in conversation with another family member, Tyler mentioned that Charlie Kirk was coming to UVU. And they talked about why they didn't like him and the viewpoints that he had. The family member also stated that Charlie Kirk was full of hate and spreading hate. The family member also confirmed Tyler Robinson had a gray Dodge Challenger. Now, investigators identified an individual as the roommate of Tyler Robinson. Investigators interviewed the roommate, who stated that Tyler made a joke on Discord. So investigators asked if this roommate would show them the messages on Discord. So the roommate opened it and showed several messages to investigators and allowed investigators to take photos of the screen as each message was shown by Robinson's roommate. These photos consisted of various messages, including content of messages between the phone contact named Tyler, that was also like with an emoji icon, and Robinson's roommate's device. So the content of these messages included messages affiliated with the contact Tyler, stating that Tyler needed to retrieve a rifle from a drop point, leaving the rifle in a bush, messages related to visually watching the area where a rifle was left, and a message referring to having left the rifle wrapped in a towel. The messages also refer to having engraving bullets and a mention of a scope and the rifle being unique. There were also messages that mentioned that he had changed outfits. So naturally, we have a lot of questions. And as these stories develop and information comes out, we typically find that we have more questions than answers. So here are some of the questions that I have. Why the outfit changes? To be clear, the arrest warrant indicates that Tyler was in the maroon outfit prior to the shooting, changed clothes to the black outfit, committed the shooting, then changed back into the maroon outfit, and then stayed in that outfit for the next day and a half. So that just seems odd to me. I just feel like I need more clarity on that, more information. It makes me wonder if they do in fact have the right guy, if there was potentially a second person involved. Because where is the rifle when he's coming down off of the roof? We don't see it in a backpack or in his hands. So where is it? Now, it's been suggested that he disassembled the gun before jumping off the roof. But then if that were the case, then why would he go to the trouble of reassembling it again to then go hide it in the woods? Like, it just doesn't make any sense. So what do we know so far about Tyler? Well, online voter registration records show that Robinson is registered to vote with no party affiliation. He is listed as being an inactive voter, meaning he has not voted in two regular general elections and did not respond to a notice sent by the county clerk. His parents are registered Republicans, and according to his mom's social media, they seemed like a pretty average family. They took vacations to Disneyland, Hawaii, the Caribbean, and Alaska. They were very outdoorsy, often photographed boating, fishing, riding ATVs, hunting, and target shooting. And in one post that's being widely circulated, it appears they went to visit with a family member that may have been in the military or something to that effect. And they took pictures holding these huge military machine guns. So, of course, those are like getting spread all over social media. Now, according to the director of the FBI, Kash Patel, investigators indicated that Tyler's family told them that he had subscribed to left-wing ideology even more so in these last couple of years. Now, Kash Patel also said that the suspect sent a text message before the assassination to an individual saying that he had the opportunity to kill Kirk and was going to do it, quote, because of his hatred for what Charlie stood for, end quote. Now, Tyler appears to have confessed to his friends in an online chat group before his arrest, according to the Washington Post, saying, quote, hey guys, I have bad news for you all. It was me at UVU yesterday. I'm sorry for all of this, end quote. And then the message went on to say, quote, I'm surrendering through a sheriff friend in a few moments. Thanks for all the good times and laughs. You've all been so amazing. Thank you all for everything. And then he was arrested 2 hours after that message was sent. As of today, September 16th, it's Tuesday, he is expected to appear in court to face official charges. And so I'll update you on what those end up being. I do know Utah does have the death penalty. So I guess we'll just see what ends up happening. I don't want to speak too much on what could happen, only really what already has happened. But of course, there's so much political discourse surrounding all of this because, you know, the left is accusing the right of hastily judging this as a politically motivated violent attack. And I guess there's arguments on both sides that the right is claiming this was a far left lunatic, whereas the left is claiming that Tyler came from a Republican family and that this was rooted in that, which that one doesn't really make as much sense to me because I don't understand that if Tyler was far right, then why would he be against what Charlie is saying? Because you would think that essentially their values would line up. So that just doesn't really make sense to me. It also came out that Tyler's roommate was transgender, that he was transitioning from male, or that he is in the process of transitioning from male to female, but that this roommate has been totally cooperative and helpful. And same with Tyler, that his family has been very cooperative, but that Tyler himself has been uncooperative. Okay, now listen, as it comes to political discourse, okay, this is not my wheelhouse. I am a true crime podcaster. I'm not a political podcaster. And I think that there is a lot of weird and shady stuff going on. If you watch anything about just politics in general, things that are going on with Israel, like there are so many questions that I'm nervous to even ask because I don't feel like I have enough information to really speak on it confidently. But I will say that I have questions. I have questions about what our administration is really up to. I have questions about why we are being so vague about the Epstein files when that was something that was run on. Like, I have questions. And I think as someone who does lean towards the right, I should be allowed to ask those questions just as much as anyone else. And I don't know. I just think it's odd. I think it's odd that immediately after this happens, House Republicans were eyeing an $88 million bill for security post-Kirk in some stopgap funding bill. Well, of course, I have issues with why there seems to be so much action immediately after Charlie Kirk's killing, but why have we still not figured out a way to secure our schools more safely? That I have an issue with. So I don't know. I of course don't want to get too political on here. I've already done it. I mean, this is like the most political episode that I have on my whole catalog. So if you stayed with me through, you know, to this point, thank you for giving it a chance. Whether you agree with me or not, I appreciate that you at least gave me an opportunity to speak on this and share some of the things that I think aren't being as talked about. Of course, let me know your thoughts on this episode. You can leave it in the Spotify comments. You can message me. I've seen it all, but I will end with this. From the, when I consider the amount of hate that I have gotten in my comments, DMs, or Apple reviews, it doesn't even pale in comparison to the amount of love and support that I have gotten in my comments, in my inbox, in my reviews. So I want to thank you so much if you've made it this far for supporting me through this because you probably know how hard it is to speak up at a time like this for fear of retribution. So I'm very thankful for the love and the support that I have gotten because it does exist. And I'm very grateful for those of you out there. If it weren't for you, I would not be doing this. So I appreciate you so much. And as always, especially now, stay curious, question everything, stay vigilant, especially if you are in a crowded space. Man, now it's more important than ever. So have a great week. I'll see you next week. Mama Mystery.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.